Amen. Good morning. How are we doing? Yeah, good to have you here. I want to dismiss the kids to Children's Church, so if you have a child ages 5 to 8, they are welcome to go out these doors here to Children's Church. Casey and Jen Walters are teaching Children's Church today. If you want to keep your kids here, we love that too. We got both options, and we are for both options, so we're thankful for that. If you brought a copy of God's Word, I would encourage you to find 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And as you do that, I want to say thanks to Mike and Tisa and to Jeff and to Brett. Do you guys enjoy when they lead worship? I know I do. I could listen to them all day. So give them a hand. Thank the Lord for their ministry. It really is a blessing. So last week we began a study in 1 Thessalonians, and that's a study that we're going to continue throughout the summer. 1 Thessalonians is an epistle, which if you're not familiar with that word epistle, it's just a fancy word for a letter. It's a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Thessalonica. Paul had been there, he had started the church, God had moved him on, and he was sending this letter back as an encouragement. And this isn't just any letter. Maybe you still write letters today or emails, text messages. We got different ways to communicate today. This is not just any letter because Paul wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So this came straight out of the mouth of God, and it's applicable and it's relevant for us today. So it wasn't just for the original people who received it and who heard it. This is for us. And so we need to pay attention as we look into 1 Thessalonians, not just today, but all summer long. So I want to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I want to read verses 2 through 10, and then we'll pray and we'll jump into the scriptures. But I encourage you, if you have a Bible, to follow along. If you don't have one, the words will be on the screen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 2, says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and your labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of man we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." That is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can gather back here at the Winterset High School. Lord, I thank you for your goodness in that, but also I thank you for providing a place for us to worship all throughout the COVID pandemic when we couldn't be here. Lord, we just rejoice in your care and your goodness for us in a season where many of us learned to trust you and follow you in a more deeper way than maybe we had before. Father, I pray as we look into the word today that your message would speak loud and clear. I pray that you would give me clearness of mind, and I pray that I would say what honors you and that I wouldn't say anything that doesn't honor you. And I pray that for everyone hearing, as I've pondered this passage in my own life this week, I pray that those listening today would be willing to change based on what your word says this morning. And I pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. So I gave this sermon a title, A Church Worth Bragging About. Now, I don't know if we're supposed to brag about things, so take that or leave it, but this is a church worth bragging about. You could say that this is a church in Thessalonica that you could be proud of. It's a church that brought much glory to God. Really, this letter that Paul wrote is just full of encouragement. And the Thessalonians, in many ways, were a model church, and you see some of that in our passage. But as I think about this, and I think about Redeemer, My heart's desire is that Redeemer would be a church like the church in Thessalonica, that we would be a church that people could be proud of. Now, I know I'm very proud to be part of this church and call it home. And if you call Redeemer home, I pray you are proud of this church as well. And I pray that we're always a growing church. We're not a perfect church, and we'll never be a perfect church, but I pray that we're always a growing church. And ultimately, I pray that we would be a church that seeks to glorify God above all else. And I think that's what the church in Thessalonica, the Thessalonian church, that's what they did. They glorified God above all else in how they followed the Lord. And so our passage today begins with thanksgiving. You see the Apostle Paul giving thanks for the church. And I believe you could really write that theme over top of this whole passage, that it's just it's a whole long list of verses giving thanks for this church. But even more than that, I think as we look into this passage, we can see some specific things that the Thessalonian church was doing that brought glory to God that can be a model for us so we can follow in their footsteps. And so that's what I want to do today. I want to look at some of those things. How can Redeemer be a church that glorifies God more and more? And I hope by the end of the sermon today that's clear. So I want to start with the first thing, and the first thing you see in here about the Thessalonian church is that they had genuine faith in Christ. They had a genuine faith in Christ. Paul is remembering the visible evidence of their faith. Actually, in verses 2 through 5, it's really one long sentence where Paul is just, he's remembering and he's listing out, he's rejoicing over the proof of their salvation. And you wonder, what does it mean, the proof of their salvation? Well, Paul is confident in verse 4 that God has chosen them. He makes a very confident statement that he knows that God has chosen them. And you might wonder, how can Paul be so confident? Because he can't see their hearts, right? He can't know what God has done in their heart. But verse 5 gives us a reason for that confidence. And it's that God's word came to them, not only in word, but in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. And that's why Paul is confident that they are God's children. And I would ask you, are you confident today that you're a child of God? The text gives us kind of three specific reasons. It's not just that the Word of God came in power, but also that there's three specific things. So look at verse 3. It says that there was a work of faith. There was a work of faith going on in the Thessalonian church. This refers to a life of increasing fruitfulness in obedience to God. So Paul could be confident that they were Christians, that the Thessalonian church was truly born again because there was growing obedience and growing fruitfulness for God. And notice that it says work of faith, not a work for faith. This work, this obedience, is coming out of the faith they already had. They weren't obeying so that they could be right with God. They weren't obeying so that they could be declared righteous or have a right standing with God. They obeyed because they were right with God. Their faith in Jesus saved them, not the works that they did. And the same thing is true for us. Our faith in Christ saves. Our works never save us. So that's one thing that was going on. But also, he talks about their labor of love. Their labor of love. Now, love is something that marked the Thessalonian church, and it should be something that marks our church as well. And I thank God for the way that our church is known to love the community and love those who come. And I pray that always continues. I pray we never lose that. But notice that it's not just love, but it's a labor of love, right? See that word labor? It's the idea. The original Greek word talks about laboring to the point of weariness, sweat, or fatigue. So genuine love is willing to go the distance. It's willing to set aside personal plans and schedules and preferences to show love to people. We don't really like to labor. You know, how many of you really like just get super excited about doing really hard work, being sweaty and exhausted? And I don't like doing that. You know, I thought about mowing my grass yesterday, and I thought, I'll wait till about 6:30. And then I thought, I'll wait till tomorrow, you know, and we'll see what today brings, because Sunday's nap day after church. We don't like to work, but God calls us to a labor of love, to be serious about loving people. So that's another way that their faith was manifest, in the Thessalonian church. The third thing that is in verse 3 is a steadfastness of hope. A steadfastness of hope. A confident expectation that the future is in God's hands and he's working all things for our good. These are the things that marked the Thessalonian church, that let Paul know that the word had not just come in word only, but in power, and the faith was real. This passage overall is teaching that God transforms the people he saves. God transforms people that he saves. We should expect visible results after someone is converted. Now, this doesn't mean that we instantly change. It doesn't mean that change is easy or that it's quick. I believe the process of changing, become more like Jesus, which we call sanctification, that process is long, it's hard, it's messy. It doesn't go as we expect. It doesn't look the same for you as it might look for me. People grow at different rates and in different ways. But the scripture is clear. If you are born again, if you're a child of God, if you put your faith in him, there will be evidence that comes out of your life that you're a child of God. And that gives you confidence. It's one way that you can have secure confidence that you are in the faith, that you know Jesus, is by the work he's doing in your life. And so the question I would ask you this morning is that if you were to be put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If you were put on trial for being a follower of Jesus, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Could people look at your life and say, yeah, this person's a believer. They're a follower of Jesus. If we followed you around outside of this gathering this morning, would we say, believer in Jesus Christ? They're living their faith out each and every day. Again, sanctification does not mean that you'll be perfect, but it means that you'll be progressing. It means that you're in the fight. And this is how I'm so encouraged by thinking this way in my life, as I look at my life and go, man, I don't change or grow as fast as I would like. But you ask, are you in the fight? Have you made peace with sin? Because if you're a believer in Jesus, you're not going to make peace with sin. You're not going to be okay to let it be and just say, that's who I am. That's what I do. When I get angry, I guess that's just me. And, you know, we'll deal with it. That's not what a Christian does. They stay in the fight. They're engaged in mortal combat against their sin. Until Jesus comes back or until we're called home to heaven, we're going to keep fighting. And we're going to bear fruit for Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's the first thing that glorified God in the Thessalonian church, is they had genuine faith. But I want to take kind of a side note, and I want to go back to verse 4 before I move on. And if you're taking notes, this may just mess up your outline, so I apologize. I don't know what to say. Just put boxes around this or something, brackets. But verse 4 says, the Apostle Paul says, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you.